and then just forget all of that. So,
no.
It's like, where are we going with this?
I don't know.
I was excited.
I was too.
So, dear listeners, today, and typically, let me go backwards. Typically, right now, you'd be greeted by the soothing and familiar tones of Joe and Lee as they spread joy and happiness throughout the dice-rolling world with special guests. But now, not today. This is a takeover of Mage Productions. Not a hostile takeover, more of an aggressive takeover. But I'm your host, James Stiver. You may know me from such podcasts as Loot and Dagger, Stellar Arcanum, and North by Northwest. But it's not about me. Not today. Today we're going to talk about Chords of Fate. And with me are the DMs of this groundbreaking extravaganza, Lee and Joe. How are you?
Wow, I don't know if I can live up to that hype already.
Yeah, that was good.
That was great.
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to try. So let's.
I'm great, James.
So you're gonna have to tell me how your day is going and make it entertaining. Yeah, how are you guys doing?
No, I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, doing well.
I'm okay. Life is that good mix of busy and more busy. But then, you know, and then when you're just like, you're taking a nap and you're like, oh no, I'm oversleeping, I'm busy. And then, yeah, that's just the way it works.
I feel that in my bones.
Oh, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's get down to brass tacks here.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Chords of Fate. Why are these fates so corded? Why are these chords so faded? Why don't you do me a favor? Give me the elevator pitch of what Chords of Fate is all about. I'm in an elevator. There's some elevator music going on. There's maybe three other people in the room awkwardly staring at us as I've asked you about Chords of Fate.
Did either one of us prepare an elevator pitch?
No. It's all you,
Joe.
Go for it.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
Pitch that elevator.
Pitch it. So, I'm an executive for people who need executives. we'll go backwards. Hello there, Joe.
Hello there, Mr. Executive of people that need executives.
Yes, it says so on my rather large name tag.
I can see.
You, sir, are a man who looks like he has a podcast he wants to pitch.
I might. I might have a podcast that I could pitch.
Well, tell me about it.
So, pan in, world, earth, dragons, giants, people, adventurers. And then just forget all of that. So, no.
It's like, where are we going with this?
I don't know.
I was excited.
I was too.
So basically, we're at an IHOP. Yeah. And now we're just...
I think that's kind of a very similar beginning to another podcast, so we might need to keep that different.
All right.
So
legally different, but distinct to another podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Chords of Fate is actual play, real play. I don't know. We're gonna edit some, not too terribly much, and throw in some fancy sound effects and whatnot. But for the most part, an actual play D&D 5e podcast. Myself and Lee are both DMing two separate groups. We each have groups of three that are running through the exact same story at the exact same time.
So two groups of three. How are you guys recording this? Is this going to be all like online through some Zoom situation or something like that? Or is it kind of a mixed bag of how you're going to do it?
It's a mixed bag. I really feel like
at the person tables.
At the person tables.
No, I understand, Joe. Okay, sometimes you're just at the person.
Yes, that is true.
And that's the overall feeling. Yeah, so
basically what we're doing is I have a group that is in person around a table. We are sitting around our mics recording, playing with each other. And then Lee is running a second group that is all online.
I have a very important question about that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you say you're playing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that in more physical detail, please?
So in our hands, we take these pieces, we'll call them. And then we shake them around a lot until the pieces happen to go flying out of our hand. And then we tell stories about things that happen around that happening.
I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. That excites me. And I think that's amazing.
I was hoping so.
Yeah. So Joe, you're on team, physical.
Also known as the Cuddle Crew.
The Cuddle Crew. Okay.
The Cuddle Crew, apparently.
So do you guys have like a bunch of pillows stacked up around you and maybe some onesies, maybe a nice film on the back, like some Netflix or Amazon Prime, you know? Is that something you guys do? Or
I mean, it might become that. I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
so Lee, does that mean you're on team online?
I am on team online. So, you know, we all sign into our little Zoom room and take turns staring at each other, talking into our microphones, using our little play voices.
Your play voices, the sultry tones of Lee and guests.
It's good stuff.
And I was looking through your cast list. How did you guys get such amazing people here? Like, what was that process like? Did you guys in secret? Because I'll be honest, I don't know if I got an invite. I was looking here. Nope, I don't see my name. That's fine. Because this is reporting at its prime. I'm completely unbiased here. But you guys seem like you got some pretty awesome people. Why don't you tell me about those people you got coming aboard?
Absolutely. Yeah,
so I have three really close friends. I have Cora, also known as Glamour Bomb. I have Joey or
which are the
Nomadic.
Best bombs, I think, by the way.
For real.
It's gonna be, if something's gonna be bombed, bomb it with Glamour. That's
always.
I've always said that. James Stiver has always said that. But continue on. I'm sorry.
And then we have Liz, who is always some kind of witch on her Twitter handle. I don't know which one it is this week.
Let's see. Liz. Nope, I'm not. Resident Swamp Witch.
There we go. It's always changing.
Resident Swamp Witch. So good job there if you're going to be listening here. If not, then
definitely.
You need to tell your cast to listen to your show. but how's that? So how do you guys do that as DMs? And honestly, we're going to come back around the moon to actually talking about the show and its nuts and bolts. But I'm really interested as somebody who does podcasting in general, and it's odd enough trying to get one group together and then maybe you do some side quests, you know, off the side of that, or you do some special guest spots. But how do you guys coordinate that story being told, especially because it's probably so live and interactive that you have to probably every night just be texting each other like a married couple, right?
It does happen often.
It does happen often.
Or I guess married couples don't text each other because they generally live with each other, but I'm talking about those folks who do have those long distance relationships and they text each other a lot. Yeah. I'm right there with you, Boo.
So real quick, before Lee started on Joey, no medic. Don't forget Gnome.
Oh, I will not forget Gnome. Sidebar, Gnome is probably one of the nicest people I have ever met in person.
Yes. Real.
And if we can just take a special shout out for Gnome, I love you, buddy. He was one of the nicest, most genuine people I met at Gen Con last year. So I was especially excited when I saw his name on the cast list. I was like, yo, Gnome, what up, dog? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, special mention for him. But so how do you guys coordinate that? What's that process like?
Yeah, well, Joe and I got together a while ago, and we kind of set up the structure for how we wanted to do it. We planned ahead to cut it into 6 segments, and each segment has 2 episodes within it. And really, we have an end goal of where we want to end on that last episode of that segment, so that we can try our best with, you know, players' intentions and choices in mind to end up in that situation, so that we can hit those goals and we can hit those endpoints, so that we can stay on track to keeping the players in line. Because like you said, we're playing in tandem with each other. We're playing along the same storyline from 2 different sides of the story. So currently, you know, we've had, I think Joe's had 2 games. By the time this actually launches, I'll have 2 games, and we'll see how that actually works out.
Yes.
I actually went through this at a certain point as well, where I actually, because of timing, I had to record 2 separate, on the same storyline, 2 separate groups, and it did not work out as well as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a little, I mean, even little, because you have to account for things like how long someone's going to be there. So is it day now or night then? You know, like who was the hero of this town or something? Because mm-hmm. that could be, unless if you guys are recording at the exact same time, that could be awful. But I guess ideally what you guys are doing is recording, you know, and then after that, you're immediately handing off your notes and like, go, mm-hmm. go.
Quite literally. So
quite literally,
I got together with my group and just recorded this past Saturday. So we did our thing. We recorded, got our 2 sessions in. And prior to that, we kind of had the idea of we're trying to hit this and this, we'll say. And Lee's group is trying to hit this and this. So literally the very next morning, it's like, okay, so we got this and this. They didn't want to go here at all, so we ended up going here. We met this person. We did that. So now you have that info dump because he's recording tomorrow with his group. Mm-hmm. So
you guys are like keeping some Google Doc out there in the secret sphere of DMs, like the world, the secret league of DMs has some kind of global, secret area that you guys just poke in and be like, what did we do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That may or may not be the Shadow Council. I cannot confirm or deny.
Well, yes. That is up to you. That is, even though we strive here at Mage Productions to be some of the world's cutting edge, not only interviewers, but seekers of knowledge, the true knowledge out there. You do not have to confirm or deny, but you can nod your head and I will know that you are part of the Shadow Council. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, it's great. I see what you did there. And I'm sorry, listeners, that secret is for me and me only. All right, well, let's go backwards here. So first off, you guys have already announced that's starting November 1st. Is that still true?
That is correct. Episode 1 will drop November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the day everyone should mark on your calendars. Obviously, mm-hmm. take off of work. If you're with a loved one who happens to enjoy this kind of thing, make sure they do the same. Mm-hmm. If you have kids, then make sure they have somewhere else to go. Put on some maybe candles, maybe a seance beforehand and or after. And just make sure that this is a special day, right? That's what this is.
Oh, yeah.
So on September or on November 1st, this will launch. Is this going to be every week? Is this going to be every 2 weeks? What's going to be your episode release schedule?
This will be a weekly release. It will alternate weeks between the 2 groups, but every week there will be a piece of the story coming out.
That is a bold choice, and I appreciate that.
It is definitely a bold choice.
Obviously, you two are just made of steel in your hearts, because I'll be honest, I don't know if I can do every 2 weeks as an editor. But are you guys sharing the editing duties on that then? Is that something
we are? Yes.
Okay. Are you guys handling your own shows as the editors? Because it'd be completely hilarious if you guys swap that up and you're editing each other's shows.
That's actually exactly what we're doing.
Oh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'll be editing all of Joe's shows and Joe will be editing all of mine. And yeah, I'm sure he'll do a great job.
So is there going to be some kind of competitive spirit with that though? Like, oh, you know what? Because when you go to, or is this going to be released in like a Podbean kind of situation or something like that? Like, and you're going to look into your stats and you're going to be like, oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. But it looks like my episode got a little bit more downloads than yours.
Oh, people are following the banana boats and not the Cuddle Crew.
Exactly.
It's kind of double-edged at that point, because if the episode that I ran is getting better numbers, then is it because my group did better in the game or because Lee edited better? And vice versa, if his group does better, is it because they D&D'd better than my group or because I made them sound way better than they are?
I'll be honest, this is a fight. This is a fight you two can have at 2 o'clock in the morning outside of an Irish pub.
And it's probably going to happen.
It's probably going to happen, knowing you two. And I'll probably be there because I probably spurred it on. I probably whispered in both of your ears.
I definitely see this happening.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
So let's take the camera. Let's pan it out of that world, right? And let's do that 50,000-foot overview of what is this world that you guys built. So what's it called? Meldoran? Meldoran? Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And it's interesting because I did read your anvil.
Look at that.
He You're does so much more prep work than we do for our episodes. Oh my goodness.
One job and I was going to do it. Well, at least a little bit. I read it like this morning. I didn't read it like last week like I should have. But anyway, so there's like this low magic, but kind of what is like almost like a steampunk kind of almost feels like a Final Fantasy-ish kind of feel and vibe to me. But you guys describe that. What's the world set up like?
Yeah, so the world very heavily influenced by Final Fantasy. I know Joe and I both.
Oh my god! It. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Joe and I both grew up playing those games, so you know. That's where our hearts are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so history of Meldoran is way back when our home group has been playing in this world for the past 4 years now.
Sounds about right. Four-ish, yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end of our last campaign, their storyline ended and they brought magic back into the world. And with that, there was a giant war of the giants. So the giants all came topside and really just
a giant
demolished.
World of the Giants feels like an episode name that you need to have. Followed by Tiny Tunes. If there's like maybe a gnome band out there that's all like bards.
Oh my gosh.
You should have Tiny Tunes as well. But
so probably gonna have to happen now.
That's fine. Use my idea if you'd like. Yeah, it has been said. Go on. So giant world.
And Our story picks up 1 year after the Giants War ends. Magic is back in the world, but it's still fresh. It's still new. It's not exactly well known.
It's on its first Tinder date. It doesn't know exactly where it wants to go yet.
No, it doesn't.
It's at a dive bar, but it's not sure if this dive bar is going to lead into a nicer dive bar later.
It started in a tavern.
Maybe some cheese curds. Who knows? Okay.
As long as they're fried.
All right. Well, sorry. I think I interrupted your flow there with my dive bar. So magic is now freshly entered into the world that you've created. Mm-hmm.
Magic is freshly entered and the dragon gods are back.
There were dragon gods.
There were dragon gods. And I guess there are dragon gods now.
There are dragon gods.
The giants weren't gods, right? They were just some giants around, like hanging out, doing their thing, making
just
war.
Giants doing giant things.
Yeah. So I guess like a little bit of background on it is the dragon gods left. And when they did, they kind of locked away their essence in these giant stones that the Giants then used to create kind of the tech power for the world.
Okay. So I need dragon. To know this. Is there a finite amount of stones that you guys have figured out as the currency? Is there a stone stock? Is there perhaps the Wall Street of stones and or questing?
There was,
yes. Because it was the only form of magic. So think kind of a Diablo-esque feel to the way tech works is you take an item and you socket a stone into it. And now if you have a weapon with a stone, it has this magical property that it can do. Or these rail cars start, or I guess spider cars kind of, because it's like a big metal
transport box
with legs.
Yeah. Whatever sounds
cool. They get up and start walking away.
Whatever sounds cool.
You need to go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or a spider rail car.
Mm-hmm. All the above.
I'm going to put that in my game. I'm not even going to have a stone in it. That's how I can legally separate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great.
So you have this almost this Magitech kind of vibe thing going on where there's this, is it where if you are a mage or someone who's a spellcaster, then that's kind of new and weird? Is that the vibe you're going for here?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely weird. Mm-hmm.
And that means that perhaps your heroes are that much more, I wouldn't say heroic, because maybe they don't actually do anything heroic. I play plenty of characters that just kind of hung out and weren't actually very heroic. But you're saying that that at least it makes them extremely unique in a way that, say, Final Fantasy was the same way when you played. No matter what Final Fantasy you are, like, there's so much magic going on, but like five people know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Somehow, you know, like five people know how to use it. And there's also, I don't know, pieces of treasure chests floating around randomly want to kill you. So, which actually makes sense now that I think about it in D&D. Well, that's really cool. So when these characters are here and it's go time, are there like I don't know, have there been a history rich with other kind of adventurers and such, or is this kind of like a reset kind of scenario in your timeline where these might be the first of their class of people doing the things that they're doing?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Well, so the timeline is very much influenced by our first campaign that we played. Mm-hmm. All of or most of those characters are still pretty heavily in the storyline, including a few specials such as Cid. Fenton will make an appearance. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Mantis will too.
Is this a story that you guys have? I don't mean to cut you off. I'm so sorry, Lee.
No, you're good.
Is there a, like, the story that you guys have already done, is that documented somewhere out there in the universe? Or is that just in your heads?
It's in, like, our hearts.
In reality?
It's in your hearts.
Or in the game?
Did you guys role play this in a drunken bender? Is this something that was on a webcast somewhere or some kind of other podcast or anything like that?
Yeah, this was just a home game that we enjoyed.
Yeah.
That we played.
We are, however, thinking of bringing out kind of like a journal of the adventure, though, from the point of view of one of the characters. One of our players actually like kept a character journal of the adventure and has kind of put all this together. So we're trying to get that and get it squared away so that will float in reality and potentially in the game also for people to find or not.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a, let's see, let me check my notes because I have them because I'm a professional. What about a taste of the narrative we can expect? Is there some kind of flavor or some kind of themes you guys are going to be working with? Or is it murder hobos everywhere? Is it a noir detective? But feels like it's just going to be whatever, you know, whatever the characters come up with, I'm sure. But is there some kind of overarching things we can expect? Is this like world ending, summoning liches, summoning demons, or is that under wraps? You can't tell me.
I think Joe actually said something before we started recording that was pretty on par for the feel of how Meldorin kind of exists. If you want to share that.
What did I say?
You were talking about the Beholder.
are we going to go ahead and drop that in?
Yeah, drop it in. I think it's a cool thing. Maybe not the Beholder specifically, but why your player did what they did with the Beholder.
So fairly early into this campaign, my group encounters a Beholder. And
like, this is no spoilers. This is just, it's going to, or might be a little bit of a spoiler, but it's going to happen fairly early enough that you're not going to feel like you're getting gypped if you hear this.
It happens in my group's third game. So it will be game 5 of the podcast.
Okay. And the good news is, if they're listening to this now, then you already got their ears attached to you. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you got spoiled, I'm so sorry, but we got you to download. So, got you.
So they encounter this Beholder. And after the session, one of my characters, who is very much so the like pragmatic, the things you're doing are stupid, I have to watch out for everyone else in the group type of character, literally comes up to me and says, I wanted to attack that thing so bad from the moment it appeared. He was, and the only thing that made me not is that when describing this world, you told us that just because the D&D lore says that this thing is evil doesn't mean it is in your world. And that things aren't necessarily what they seem. So I think something along those lines is things are not necessarily how they seem is kind of the theme for season one.
That is very much on par.
Yeah, I think that, and we can almost, not that this is kind of off, but on topic at the same time, because if you talk about DMing, homebrew crafting lore, and crafting your games for not just entertainment, but just so everyone has fun in general. If you go strictly by the D&D guidelines, sometimes it can be really hard, because you know what I love that I've always wanted, that I'm going to have eventually, I think, but I've been wanting everyone to put in their games, are nice liches. You know what I mean? Like a good, just someone who just wanted to live forever and sure had to do some evil to get there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if I curse, you guys don't curse, but I curse. So, and this is a takeover, so we're just doing it. But what you're saying is you're bringing that in a little bit. You're saying mm-hmm. that just mm-hmm. because something may be a werewolf or a beholder or maybe an illithid, that maybe that illithid actually dreams of opening up a muffin shop and just wants mm-hmm. to bake all day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's evil. So are you actually taking out alignments in general out of this? Because that's interesting if you're doing that.
It's not so much taking out alignments. It's, I mean, so you could have an elf or a dwarf, and they could be as good or as evil as you want them to be within a game. And that's totally acceptable. And like nobody questions it or whatever. And then like you throw a tribe of goblins and some trolls, maybe some ogres. Why can't they do the same? Mm-hmm. Like, why do they have to be evil? Or why do they have to?
And it's actually kind of funny.
Pillage and build flesh tents.
It's actually kind of funny that you brought up werewolves and whatnot, because
I also think flesh tents are also funny, Joe. I just want to go ahead and put that in there. I'm actually, hold on, I'm making a note. Flesh tents are funny but dark. There we go. I underlined.
But okay. So on the note of flesh tints, before Joe goes on with things that actually matter for this interview, flesh tints are cool when you get up close to them and you can see like, oh, this section has like dwarven tattoos.
They're really
on it.
Weird
this
once you get inside them though.
Has
just
like
so you know.
Glowing other things. This one has fur on it. This one has hair on it.
Yeah, and it's really weird to then make a group, actually, if they wanted to start investigating, like, is that a medicine check or a nature
check?
They did. I don't, okay.
We did.
Yeah. They did. This is a thing that actually happened. I get it.
This actually happen, yes.
Dark, but in the game. These are things that we really need to know with this type of reporting.
Sorry, Joe, I cut you off.
All good.
To talk about flesh tints.
But I do. On the topic of werewolves and alignment and whatnot, in the last campaign, the character I played was actually turned into a werewolf, as was another character. And through that, we actually found this were creature underworld, I guess, that wasn't like, I'm just going around and murdering everything to eat their faces and change them, but was actually this kind of behind the scenes, I'm going to save the world type of group, it seemed like, because we worked with them for a little bit. They had us do a few things. They had some very strict rules that included not murder hoboing each other, and they actually gave you the choice, like if you did not want to be part of the group, they would change you back into a non-were person, I guess is the best way to say that,
right? So it was either kind of embrace our heritage if you'd like, but mm-hmm. if not, that's fine too. And I think those games are infinitely more interesting. And whenever you start getting into that world, when you start diving into that, I guess theology behind your game mechanics and the atmosphere around it, you really get a whole new class of, okay, I'm going to talk to stuff first.
Yes.
Instead mm-hmm. of try to hit everything first. And I think those right. are very interesting games. And it's something that, is that something that you, and this is another one. So you guys thought of this podcast up. You knew what you wanted to do. When you talked to the players, did you explain some of these concepts and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Are you on board? Are those things that you guys had actual conversations and all those things with?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely. I think with my group in particular, we talked about like, all right, so there's going to be two separate groups. We're running along the same storyline from two perspectives. So you might be perceived as the good guys, or you might be perceived as the bad guys. And that's not really anything that we can control. That's something that the listener would really get that grasp for, of who's in it for the greater good, who's trying to save what, and like making sure that everybody's okay with that and everybody's on board with that and knows what our goals are, and that everything is contingent on each other's groups. Mm-hmm. That it's not just us and we can do whatever we want and we can go off on this like tangent, and that's totally fine. That like Joe's group is dependent on my group as much as my group is dependent on Joe's group mm-hmm. for the progression of the story.
And was that something, is that like a, cause honestly, I don't know. And maybe there are some there, but there's, by the way, there's like 1,000 podcasts out there. So, like specifically for Dungeons and Dragons thing, but I haven't heard of anyone actually taking two, which is this very unique concept of taking two different groups, one that's completely online and one that's kind of in person. And you have those two different styles, which I'll be honest, it'll be very interesting to tell if there's a difference in flavor because of a table being so different than just mm-hmm. being online. I think mm-hmm. we've all played on game, been in streams where we played in streams. And we've been obviously at a home game table, and those are two completely different games. So to be yes. fair, are you guys interested to see, or have you already seen some of that come up as you're editing at this point?
It's something that I'm very interested to see, and a concept that I thought was very intriguing when we started this out. Some of my absolute favorite D&D podcasts are at the table. It's everybody sitting around, and I love that feel of being right there. Like, I'm sitting at the table with you watching you play.
Well, you know, Joe, you're welcome. It's not always that someone says that, you know, one of the many podcasts I'm a part of is your favorite, but just choose one. That's why I'm in so many. I just want to be one of your favorites. It's not necessarily that any one of them is good. It's that I'm in so many that by law of averages, I might actually be one of your favorites.
I can think of quite a few that are right up there for me.
But but that's very interesting. And mm-hmm. How far along in the editing process are you? Have you been able to actually see that come up where you're editing a stream, basically, Joe? So are you seeing that different than your home, than a game where everyone's face to face?
Is different. Because I'm not editing my games, I don't know that I'm seeing as much of a difference, because I'm not seeing what it's like to edit my group at the table. But from what I have seen so far, it is very different, because you... I don't even know how to put this.
I can tell you this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but maybe I can help you out here. Yes, I'm wondering if it's because when you're at a table... Think of it like nerd improv. Whenever I describe D&D to my coworkers, just like a Chad or a Jeff who's just there with his coffee cup, and he's just like, wait, D&D, what is this D&D? None of them talk like that, by the way. It's actually, we're in the South, and we're like, that D&D, what the hell is that D&D? Mm-hmm. Is that in demons? And it's like, yes, it's the demons, but, you know, we're fighting them, so please stop. We're helping the world out. Multiverse is forever in our debt every time we do this. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, when you're on a stream, you can still see people, but it's not the same as when you're on mm-hmm. a table and you're,
yeah.
And like those rules of improv apply. And now whether or not everyone who plays D&D considers himself an improver, get over yourself. You're an improver. You're a nerdy improver. You might as well just go to your local improv place theater and just sign up, because you're doing the same thing. Because you're looking at each other and you're playing off of each other's actions and feelings, and you can just see that.
Yes.
Whereas on a stream, you see those like Zoom or whatever boxes, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit harder to kind of interact and play off of each other, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think what you do get with the Zoom that's different are people have a little bit more, when they do say something, they've been thinking about it more. So mm-hmm. you certainly get what you wouldn't get in the improv scene, like that off the cuff, just bam, bam, bam. You get a little bit more that pregnant pauses, but then when someone says something, it's a little more thought provoking, is usually what I've seen. So it'll be very interesting when you guys edit that down to see if that's true.
I will say that after like playing in my games on Zoom and kind of feeling that around the table, it's very much, words are hard.
I don't interrupt you here, but have you ever noticed that when you're on a stream, and this is for all you streamers out there, I hope that you guys have like 100,000 listeners and they're all streamers, right? So everyone will understand what I'm saying. Certainly a whole bunch of adults get on stream and they've all played Dungeons & Dragons a million times, but nobody knows how to talk to each other suddenly.
It's true. You know?
And it's like you guys have been, like, even if you give them set up, like your entire group has been best friends for hundreds of years, as you're all elves and you're frolicking around and you're all friends, and suddenly you get into a tavern and everyone's like, hey there, friend. How's it
going? Yeah, very much so.
But like Joe's group, like they're all friends and they all know each other, and they're all, oh, you're not? I thought you guys were.
No. So with our group, we've got, well, you mean like in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your characters.
Yes. Yeah, I thought you meant like the actual players themselves.
No. I knew that. I meant your...
We don't care about the actual players, Joe.
We don't care about the players. We play... Yeah.
We care about their characters.
But with Joe's group, you can feel that they're definitely playing off of each other, and they're playing off of each other's like vibrance, yes, and all of their enthusiasm. And it really builds and builds and builds on that. And it's an absolutely amazing and beautiful thing, being able to sit at a physical table with people and roll dice and role play, mm-hmm, and really get that feeling. And then with Zoom,
it's so formal.
I feel like it's very formal, but I feel like all of the characters within my group are staying more true to their character, because they're not getting those feels from the other players at the table. They're, mm-hmm, not feeling that buzz that there is. So they have their character in mind of how they act and how they interact with another one. And they're staying more in line with that than being at a table and like you have everyone's like, I don't want this to go off in a bad way, but you have everyone's like goof level, like goes up a tick about every hour or whatever it is. And it's great. And that's awesome. And that leads to really brilliant play. And it really develops characters, but it's just developing the characters in two totally different ways.
Very much so.
And it's a very interesting concept. And I'm also really excited to see how it progresses through the story.
Yeah, because to ping pong off that, Lee, I think that when the things I've seen, especially in my experience with streaming, is that it's a slower ride up to the characters interacting with each other really well, mm-hmm, because you don't have, like, say you make a decision. When you're at a table, you see instantly if everyone does not like your decision that you're about to make. And there are some like, well, you know what? Maybe, because you see, I do this, obviously. I wear my character heart on my sleeve, like James Stiver, as a do not invite me to your games, by the way. Just do not. I have that evil eye.
The man of many podcasts.
The man of many podcasts. Certainly a lot of people do not learn. But I definitely have that evil eye when someone's about to make a decision that I, James Stiver, do not like. Mm-hmm. Not my character, but I, James Stiver, I like. And I will stare daggers and I will clench my drink and I will, whatever food is available, I'll just like, mm-hmm. Is that the kind of person you wanted to be today? Is that really who you wanted to be? That person, that, mm-hmm, guy, that gal, whatever. And you don't have that on the stream because sometimes they're like on their phone or like they're not looking at the right box or whatever. Like they don't feel that pressure and they're playing their characters, you're rightly, more true to form. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those characters progress. How do you guys have an actual timeline, I guess? Like when is the madness going to stop, right? Ideally it goes on forever and ever and you guys are doing this forever and always, right? But with this particular cast and crew, do you guys have like a timeline, a certain amount of episodes, a certain amount of narrative you want to get through?
So season one is going to be basically 12 episodes from each group, and then potentially a 1 to 2 episode like coming together in whatever way they end up coming together or clashing or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. So is that you guys flying everyone out to one hotel room in the center of America?
That would and be everyone, optimal.
And
that
everyone gets around, and ideally this is an IHOP actually, because I and you guys just buy like 24 mics and everyone has a microphone. Mm-hmm. And you guys just do an extravaganza of role play.
That would be great, but it's probably just going to happen over Zoom.
Probably just going to be Zoom.
Well, I just want to let you know I speak for the people and Mage Productions when I say that I feel like the IHOP extravaganza situation is something that should happen.
We will take donations now.
Absolutely. We will go ahead and start taking donations. If anyone wants to see that happen, please feel free to give everything that you can or want to.
That you can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here, internet worlds, people who love both me and Mage Productions, both Chords of Fate and Mage Productions. I'm going to keep pushing Mage Productions because today, that's me. But if you would just give me your money, I will make sure it gets to them. We'll make this IHOP experience a reality.
James is just going to handle all the logistics for us. It's going to be great.
I will handle all the money and logistics. It'll be okay. You may never hear from me again, actually. We'll see. Depends on how much money.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not going to stop at like $100. I'm not like losing friends over $100, but I'll lose friends over like, you know, like $20,000. I think that's
so money. We're successful. You
know? Yes. If you guys are successful,
James is going to leave this world.
Yeah, I will leave the world. Now, that's a different Patreon level, though, you know, if you think about it. So do you guys have a Patreon and a Discord and all this nuts and bolts that come with a podcast? At this
Our point? Patreon will go live on November 1st with the first episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to have some swag, too. We'll get some t-shirts up on So Nerdwear. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good stuff.
Do you have a funny t-shirt? Do you have a fun, like a beholder there just looking doofy or like a,
oh, we're gonna,
or like a airship or like an airship being eaten by a beholder, or
we need to make the Chellic is mean t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do.
Yes.
So what about your Patreon tiers? Are they kind of fun stuff you guys are going to be doing?
Yeah, so we'll have an early release tier. We'll have a content tier, which will include like world lore, magic items found within the world, character journals that they're going to be keeping, some of them.
Are you forcing your characters now to write a journal? Because I think that's hilarious.
Actually, and they should offered. Do it.
They should
it
just do
a, was their idea.
They should just do a blog, really.
They should just do a blog.
But I would love it if some of those journal entries like today, nothing happened and it was very boring.
Hey, content.
That's
boom.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's content. So it's number content. One, that's the number one rule of Patreon is content is king. I don't content. Care what content, just Doesn't throw it matter. Out there. Yeah. Get it out there. Go.
Exactly.
JK for all you people who actually are on podcasts and make really good legitimate content on for your patrons. That is great because it gives you money. And you should love each and every one of your fans as much as I love each and every one of your fans, which is why I'm on every one of your podcasts. So all right. So let's see. Is there anything maybe I've missed that you feel like, hey, James, we really wish you would have said or asked this question? Or maybe there's something in life you just want to get out there off your chest, because I'll be honest, it's just us. We're friends.
So we covered Lee's group.
Oh yeah, Joe has players too.
But I have
Oh, you too. Do? Oh, wait, hold the... Oh my God.
Joe's actually just going to play by himself.
Yep.
And then probably going to get a notice tomorrow that James Stive was fired on his first day at Mage Production.
The Cuddle Crew is really just me sitting around a microphone making four different voices.
I just thought the Cuddle Crew was just legitimately just the cuddliest little crew. But no. So tell me about these amazing players at your table, because Lee told us about the amazing players out there on the internet. But now, guess what? This is just between you and me, Joe. Mm-hmm. We don't about Lee's group.
I know.
We care
about what the cuddles.
We care about what's local.
Yeah.
To me and you. And that is in our hearts and minds, that is your group, the Cuddle Crew. Mm-hmm. What up with this Cuddle Crew, yo?
So you actually know two of them.
Oh, is this going to be awkward if I don't actually know them? No.
It's okay. You might not remember them by name, but at the holiday event that we did at Reformation, two of them were in the group that I DM'd for you.
Yes, I remember them vividly. They were very wonderful and beautiful and majestic people and excellent role players. Tell me more about them, Joe.
We have Yancey and Chad.
Oh, Yancey. Hey, yes. What up, Yancey?
The Yancey clap.
Does Yancey actually listen? Because if Yancey's listening, his clap is for you. there's an inside joke there for everybody, but I may or may not have incited a riot of clapping at a Reformation Brewery with Joe.
Yeah.
And Joe staring daggers at me going,
no, this is great.
You sit down, you drunk James. But yeah, Yancey was there. So we had a Yancey, and who else was there? I'm sorry.
Chad.
Who else is in there? Chad, yeah. Or Chad. Oh yeah, Chad. I'm seeing his face right now. That's a beautiful face, Chad. You are a handsome devil.
So we picked those two up from the Reformation games, and then the third player. The third player is Allie, who is actually, I guess, was kind of a listener or friend on Twitter to Mage and Lee and me and whatnot, and is an absolutely amazing artist. She has done all of our character art so far that is going to be releasing soon on the Chords of Fate Twitter.
And if it's one thing I love, it's character art. I can't get enough of that damn character art. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be just soon. You're not giving out you're going to be very.
So we will probably start releasing characters this week.
Ooh. So I see. Getting that hype going.
Mm-hmm. Trying to release little bits at a time. But
so she's doing your character art.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, we can get everyone's Twitter handles out there for the internet too, because there's a lot here. They have so many players. There's so many to keep up with. Like, their holiday party is going to cost them so much money if they actually do one, not at IHOP. So
luckily it can just be virtual.
Yeah.
For at least so, this group.
and she is currently Halloween. She is doing your character arts. And
yes,
that's really cool. So you guys are about to start releasing some character art, get some hype going.
We are.
Hey, here's what we got coming out to you.
Uh-huh. So we're gonna release some art so everybody can get familiar with the groups and get some little tidbits of info before the podcast drops there. But basically, we picked three really cool locals. Allie's a person that Lee and I met last year at Dragon Con. And at the time, she was living out of state. And not too long before we started doing this, I guess she actually moved to Georgia. So we were talking about, we got to get her in on this because she's awesome.
Definitely. She's great.
I have heard good things. She has liked a couple of my tweets. So for that, Allie, I am forever grateful. Forever grateful. She may have retweeted something. That's great. Thank you, Allie. I appreciate it. So it sounds like you guys are really locked in with a good core of cast members here. So that's amazing. Are these cast members signed up for the entirety of your season, or is that something we're going to keep under wraps at this point? Are we going to see some rotating cast members in the future, or is this something that you guys feel pretty strong that this is good stuff? This is who you want.
This is definitely going to be the core group for season one. We may bring in some guests at some points. Maybe not for season one. That might come more in season two.
Right. With 24 episodes, that's a pretty solid season. So,
yeah.
And you got enough characters going on that I guess if you try to enter in some guest stuff at that point, it might muddy up the waters, but who knows? What if you guys get so big, so huge, right? That the world is screaming, just everyone wants a part of Chords of Fate. You're gonna have to do it, honestly, because
yeah.
You got to get the people what they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm wondering, where are we on time? Are we pretty good on time at this point?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh good. So I guess, if we wanted to wrap up some kind of ending thoughts here or some kind of a thing you want your listeners, really my listeners today, they'll be your listeners tomorrow, but today they're mine and I protect them with all of my heart, like a paladin of audio media. So what is it you want my dear listeners to know the most that about this podcast you're going to release into the wilds like the Kraken on November 1st, 2019. Check iTunes. Give them your money. Why should they give him money in time?
And everywhere you get your podcast from, not just
and iTunes. Everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And everywhere else.
And everywhere else.
And everywhere else.
I those think weirdos it's... who just use the web. What are you?
What are you? You know, we actually get a lot of web listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. I support you, web listeners.
Yeah, web listeners. By the way, that was just a joke on every one of the podcasts and or the one I am on right now. Web listeners are very important, and we see you.
We see that one guy in Taiwan that listens too. I appreciate you. Oh,
man. Taiwan guy, if you're listening, please do us a favor. Write in. If you're in Canada, definitely write in because, man, I love each and every one of you Canadians. Australians, love you, Australians. Best beaches in the world. But anyways, that's not about me or the Mage Productions listeners anymore. What is it you want us to take away from this Chords of Fate?
Not everything is what it seems.
Yeah.
Not everything is what it seems. Truly. Something to think about. Something to ponder over, dear listeners, as we end tonight's interview. But I hope you had a wonderful night, because I'm getting really drunk, and I have done really well tonight. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm also going to pat Joe and Lee on the back. Guys, thank you so much for letting me do a hostile takeover here. You guys did an amazing job. Good job being interviewed.
Thank you, James. We appreciate it, James.
Thank you.
Very much so.
Cheers.
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 Are we done?
I think we're done. Unless you guys feel like we can go any further. I think that was a pretty good ending right there. Okay. Right,
cool.
That was a good one. I think that'll please.
That was about an hour. You guys do like an hour, right? So
we do 30 minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review. Go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.